Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please listen or subscribe to our podcast by visiting newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or listen to us on iTunes. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message, Trivial Pursuits. The title of the message today is Trivial Pursuits. I would have to say, I told you guys a little bit earlier when we got into Matthew 5, this is my favorite section of the Bible. And if I had to pick a favorite section of scriptures, this would be it. This is the section of scriptures that has helped me the most over the years. And today, if I'm preaching, if I only preach this to myself, this is something that, of course, I need to hear. The title of the message today is Trivial Pursuits. I've had people tell me in life, no one controls me. Most times, those people are out of control, too. And there are people who believe they are not controlled by anyone or anything. They're free, when honestly, they're actually in bondage. Honestly, every person on the planet is mastered by someone or something. We are designed to worship. We are designed to be mastered. We are in the pursuit of a master, no matter how much an individual will profess they are in control of their lives. Yes, we do have some control, but a lot of times we are being mastered, and there are those who have no clue that they are. There was a popular game years ago called Trivial Pursuit, where we earned a piece of the pie to win the game. I challenge us today to look at the trivial pursuits of our own lives and gain a better focus. If you're following along in your Bibles today, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. We're starting in verse 22. Matthew chapter 6 verse 22 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light." That's the spiritual perspective compared to the worldly perspective. Because my eyes are getting worse with age, that doesn't mean my spiritual insight gets worse too. My spiritual eyes, what I look at or what I expose myself to, is what this lies here. The light of the body is the eye, verse 23. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The word there is unhealthy. The word is porneros, where we get pornography, evil. In the Greek, our perspective, wanting to tear and pull down or to drag down. Porneros describes the devil when he says he's stealing, killing, and destroying. The words porneros, his wicked ways, it's where we get pornography from. Last week we talked about placing too much emphasis on worldly treasures and temporary items. If your eye is caught up in worldly treasure, then your body is filled with darkness and out of perspective. It's not wrong for us to be motivated towards the day when we will receive rewards in heaven for what we've done. What is your perspective? If your eye is healthy, then it is filled with light. If it isn't, how much darkness fills it because of the next verse? The eye is where we focus. What is your focus? Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We will pursue many things in this life, and many of them are trivial pursuits that mean nothing in the end. We pursue stuff, people, feelings, happiness, dreams, even revenge. When Gandhi had said it best, he said, "Before you start a journey of revenge, you better dig two graves." You can pursue and give yourself to two things, but you can't be a Christian and be something else. In other words, you can claim to be a Christian and go to a strip club and see those things with your eyes. You can be a Christian and go to the bar and get double vision with your eyes. You can be a Christian and go to a crack house and your eyes will be red and bloodshot. I'm not suggesting that. But I know believers who God told them specifically to go to strip clubs or bars or drug houses to get someone out, or to minister and were strong enough to get involved in the vices. He gave them the strength to go in, get them, and in many cases, never go back. But what he is saying is you can't be mastered by two things. You either are mastered by one, you can't be mastered by things, and if you do two things, then you have no matter. Money has been my master. I've wanted stuff and would jump from one thing to the next, desiring the next technological device, or next gun, or the next new item at the Steelers store. Alcohol has been my master. I've wanted it controlled me to black out from the pain. It caused me not to be in control of my body, to do things I would never do sober, and honestly, to hurt people. Lust has been my master, and lust is not just about people lusting after things and lusting after desires or wants in my life. And pornography has been my master. It has controlled me to get thoughts in my mind which are not real, expectations of what we think would be in a relationship, and is just as bad as romance novels, soap operas, and romances for women, because it's all just emotional porn for girls. Anger has been my master. It has caused me to uncontrollably blurt out words I wish I could take back, go off on people I wish I never had, hurt people that were closest to me, and get into messes I still am getting out of today. Controlling people has been my master. They have tried to manipulate or push me to do things I did not desire to do, to manipulate or to push and hurt with all of it. I tell you, they are all terrible masters. They are all cruel masters, and eventually they will destroy you. You can be mastered by people. You can be mastered by a place. People have been mastered by religion. Life is the pursuit of the right master, and all those trivial ones and others I talked about just now are led by the one who steals, kills, and destroys. 10:10, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You can be mastered by what you steal, kill, and destroy. You can be mastered by someone, capital S, who desires to give you life to the fullest. You can't serve God and this world. Now we get to my favorite verses. Take no anxious thought. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Take no anxious thought for our life to the point of being distracted, anxious, and stressed. If we serve God, lay up treasure in heaven, then we shouldn't worry about this life and about our provision. You need to do it in a way you have no anxiety and stress. That's hard for a lot of us. He's not saying that we should be irresponsible. 1 Thessalonians 3 says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Plenty of Christians sit on the couch and pray for a job when God wants them to get out in the world and look, because looking for a job is actually a job. This says, you serve God, you have no need to worry. And if you do, it's an issue because God is your Father. Do not look around with your eyes and see what is happening, and let eyes control you into believing he's not mastering your problems. Do not let your troubles control you or worry you can't pay for what you have. Allow God to control those things. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about finances, etc. Look verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Around us there for man. In other words, God demonstrates his care for man around you, and you should know you are worth more than creation. God made fruit trees, not so eat figs and pomegranates. He made them and enjoy them. God made the whole universe, and he made them for you, and you are more valuable than they are. This is not saying don't work. Birds and squirrels get food, but they do have to gather. They build nests. They do work for their food, but they don't worry about where it comes from. Birds don't get ulcers, is what he is saying. God called workers. God loves workers in his kingdom. We can also be concerned, though, too. Don't be eaten up with worry over finances if you're serving God. Verse 27, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? The word life there is lifespan. You can't make life longer by worrying about it or fearing. In other words, you will not take an extra step in life by worrying. Worrying your hair about your hair will turn it gray. Worrying about wrinkles will leave more wrinkles. During an original survey, the participants were asked a range of questions about their outlook on growing old, such as did they think they would become less useful in later years. The researchers found that those with a positive outlook lived on average 7.5 years longer than those who worried about growing old. They believe this is partly due to a link between positive thinking and longevity. The discouraging message is that negative self-perceptions can diminish life expectancy, the researchers from America's Yale University said, because it's scriptural and it's psychological. Verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. Do they not labor or spin? Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these, the richest man who ever lived. A man who had so much gold, they threw the silver out in piles outside the city because it was worthless. A man whose house was decorated with elephant ivory and built with cedars of Lebanon. A man who had every pleasure and anything or anyone he could ever want. I tell you, not even Solomon's amazing outfits, which cost countless amounts of money, are as beautiful as a flower that God created. Verse 30. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much clothe you, you of little faith? Worry is direct coincide with lack of faith. People worry about so many things. A cancer doctor told me once the way to avoid cancer is to avoid worry. Jonathan Winters and Tiny Tim both were known to be fixated on death, and they worried about it till the day they died. Advertisers get their commercials and ads towards your worry and your concern. TV shows do as well. I watched all those doomsday prepper shows for a while, and all of them have commercials about food and water products that get you to think, if I have this, it will save me and my family. Jesus isn't condemning caring for families, he's condemning anxiety from them. It's another bondage. The majority of wealthy people have committed suicide, died penniless, or in jail. When all that stuff culturally is like grass, which people will take and burn it for heat. Verse 31. So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Don't be eaten up by those things. Verse 32. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. We have a Father who cares about us and our needs. The unbelievers like this, and we can't be that way because where is our testimony? Pagans look like that and chase after and worry about those things. So if I look like that, then what will they want? Verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek continually first God, and daily seek to give your life to him anew, walking in the prescribed path he designed for you. Seek him first, and all we need will be added unto us. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't be filled with anxiety about tomorrow. Most anxiety is borrowed from the future, and we can only live in the present. Our worry lives in the past, present, and future. We are filled with anxiety, and people know it. One person told me, focus on the past and its cares causes depression. If you focus on the future, it causes anxiety. Advertisers. Senior citizens and health isn't good, so you need a beeper to call the ambulance. The theft alarm commercials where a woman is cooking and the thief comes in the door that's opened. The roach commercials where they show us the cartoon and thousands of roaches in the walls are invading our home. In advertising, we're taught to write to people in an 11-year-old intellect so they would understand. Sex sells. Fear sells. A lot of you are human billboards. You buy a shirt that says Nike on it and pay money for it, then walk around advertising Nike shoes and clothing. It is genius. People see several individuals walk through the mall with Under Armour shirts, and they believe they need Under Armour products. They see new Coach purchases, which, by the way, have the Coach logo all over them, and they need a new purse. They see the roach invasion and have to buy the roach spray that will miraculously go through walls, caulking and insulation to kill thousands of those things. It's ingenious. And I was taught those things in visual communication school when I went to art school. Like when you design an ad for an airline, you never point the plane down. Not now you will buy car insurance from a company because of the commercials. The Geico Gecko, Progressive, and Flo. We are farmers. Dot, 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 dot. We are laughing our way to life insurance, auto insurance, homeowners insurance. Santa Claus has been around forever, and good old Saint Nick is a real saint who had a generous heart and a giving spirit who gave him the look we have today and dressed Santa in his red suit with a sled and reindeer. The people at Coca-Cola helped Santa Claus with his modern day look. Doritos gives $1 million to the individual who makes the best commercial every year. Face it, I watch the Super Bowl most years because of the commercials. I see thousands of people paying money, wearing a suit, pants, shoes, sunglasses, phone, or some other product, and people flocking to get them and pay lots of money. It is genius, and the companies know this. You are a human billboard. But a good deal of it is sold with boosting your worry, your stress, and your anxiety. By putting some kind of disaster or accident or horrible event so you can get scared and buy their products. God says, don't worry about your past, your present, and your future. Place it all in His hands. Have faith. He will take care of it. Jesus says we have enough to be concerned with about today. We are to think about and not be tortured by the future. And that is, there are so many people in this world today that are tortured by worry, by stress, and by anxiety. And I'm just going to honestly say, sometimes I get caught up in that as well. And that's why I need to hear this message today. Because I need to remember not to get caught up in all this junk. You know, about having the latest clothing, the latest phone, the latest new guns, and the new things. but to live simpler, to live easier, not to be worried. It's true, though, if I focus on my past, I begin to get depressed. And I get sad. And I work on my past. If I begin to focus on the future, I begin to get anxiety. I begin to get stressed out. I begin to worry about, oh, what's going to happen if I don't come up with this? Or what's going to happen if I don't pay this? Or what's going to happen if this doesn't happen? When God wants us to focus on now and not to worry about our future. It's not just a matter of focusing on now, it's a matter of focusing on Him and trusting Him completely. Because when we trust Him completely, then we look and we say, I don't need to worry about that next bill that's coming. Because God's provided me with a job. God's provided me with work. And if I don't have enough, God's going to provide me for to take care of that. And to trust and obey and to have those things, because we can't serve two masters either. And I'm guilty of that as well. That's why I needed to hear this today. Because sometimes we want to focus on other things. We want to focus and make things more important than Him. When He is supposed to be the most important part of our lives. And as we make Him the most important part of our lives, then the things that are in our lives that we should not have to worry about will be taken care of. I believe that's why miracles are not taking place nowadays. I believe that's why, I shouldn't say miracles are not taking place, but miracles are less and less happening nowadays. It's because of what's going on in this world, because we're so enveloped with stress, we're so enveloped with anxiety, we're so enveloped with worry, we're so enveloped with the things of this world that we just forget about God. And then the miracles don't happen because our focus is not on God, it's focused on everything else. People, when everything's hitting the fan, the last thing they do is pray. When the first thing we should be doing is going to God and saying, God, this is happening. I don't know where I'm going to be able to pay this next bill. I don't know where I'm going to be able to take care of this. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But Lord, I trust You. And I trust that You will take care of it. That's what we need to be doing. Do not worry. Do not have anxiety. Do not stress. And I'm preaching to myself today. Because I want to live more like this. Let's pray. Father, I just lift up each person here today and ask, Lord, that You would help us. Help us if we are depressed today and suffering from depression. I pray, Lord, that You would help us, Lord Jesus, with that. I pray, Lord, that as we're suffering from worry or anxiety or the future, we don't know when the next bill's going to get paid. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with our businesses, with the church, with work, with everything, Lord. Our marriages, whatever it may be. Help us to place all those things in Your hands. Help us to completely trust You. And Father, in that we give You praise. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you enjoyed this message, please continue to listen or subscribe by visiting newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or listen to us on iTunes. Thank you very much, everyone. Have an awesome day in the Lord and an awesome week and wonderful Thanksgiving. And don't forget, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.